I'm calling to order the meeting of the Riders Advisory Council for May, and we have a quorum. First, are there any people who wish to speak during the public comment period? We'll move on. Are there any comments or changes to the agenda? Okay, we don't have minutes, so we'll move on to the next agenda item, which is a three things, really. Quarterly meeting with the Board Executive Committee, the follow-up meeting with the Chief of Staff and other WMATA staff as a result of that quarterly meeting, and a follow-up relating to a meeting I attended of the Accessibility Advisory Committee. I think I sent something out to you, but just to kind of highlight it, the four of us of the RAC leadership team did meet with the WMATA. I'm laughing because I wish it was my phone, which I've lost. Anyway, I just wanted to sort of hit the highlights of the quarterly meeting with the WMATA Executive Committee. All of the four of us from the RAC leadership team were there. The members of the Executive Committee were present, and I think it was a very successful meeting. We basically went through the customer service work plans for 2014 that were in draft form, and we listened to what the board seemed to lean in on. And the things that they were most interested in sort of dovetailed almost completely with what the things that we had talked about in previous meetings, specifically the impact of the effect of the implementation of the Silver Line, the 610th Street bus corridor. They thought that it was a good idea, and I did, by the way, tell them that there was sort of a difference of opinion about whether we should just deal with the WMATA issues relating to the buses or if we could broaden that, and they were interested in broadening that. The other thing they were interested in is hearing what we had to say about the customer service as it related to public participation. They were enthralled with the idea that we wanted to do something with fare simplification. That seems to be something that has not been worked on by WMATA staff, and the timing seems to be good on that. Barbara and Candace, do you have anything else to add about what you thought about the meeting?
Well, there were a few other things they expressed some interest in were our involvement with the electronic payment program and partnering with others on the bus stops and the customer care rollout was one of the other things that it's coming along later on. I thought it was, we didn't know what to expect. It was our first public meeting with the executive. And it was, I think it was a great exchange. I think it was a lot of listening and a lot of respect between the two groups and a lot of positive feedbacks about various things, including Carol complimenting them on being pretty transparent when it came to their response on the audit results that were not good. And they were very complimentary on how, what we are doing, what we're trying to do. So I thought it was a great meeting. So it's your turn, Candace.
I thought it was a great meeting also. They were very interested in the 16th Street bus corridor. And I guess I usually speak to that because I take that on a pretty regular basis. So they seem to be open to new ideas when it came to that and other bus routes that are having similar issues. I don't know, it went pretty well. We spoke with them for maybe about a half an hour or so, maybe 45 minutes. And we pretty much went through pretty much everything on our list. We thought that we wouldn't have time to get to everything, but we talked about everything except for maybe the cell phone accessibility and Metro Rail. We even talked about the red line stations and the waterproofing issue that they're trying to figure out how to address that in the near future. So it went really well, I thought.
Mm-hmm. I have one more. One more comment. One of the things that I got really excited about was, you know, we've often struggled with how do we really, we haven't had a lot of success with our listening sessions. I mean, the one in Alexandria was successful in that we had people there, but in terms of the grand scheme of things, it was a small number of people. I'm not going to say anything about the other one. But one of the things that I think we heard at the last meeting when they talked about a lot of the bus stop research that they did, they heard loud and clear from the writers that the writers don't want to have to come to something. They want us, Metro, and people to come to them where they already are. And they talked about how they already have a slate of events that Metro has a table at various festivals and fairs and dine out things and around the whole area, and that they would love to have us partner with them because a lot of people come by and stop by the booth and have questions, have comments, and it's a way to be where the people are, and invited us to join them. And I don't know that we have the list yet.
No, but I will be able to do that.
Thank you. Thank you. So I was really excited about that.
And I guess the thing I didn't mention, none of us mentioned, was the other thing that they liked was the idea of us collaborating with the advisory with the Accessibility Advisory Committee. And I think the thing that really, there were two things that really kind of impressed me with this great feeling of, you know, mutual admiration was that, number one, at the end of the meeting, they thanked us and thanked the RAC members for the time that we all put in. But the other thing that I thought was more impressive, perhaps, was WMATA staff actually came up to us and voluntarily talked to us and said, how can we be of help? And I think that was very significant because in the past there's been sometimes a feeling of tension between the staff. So we followed that up with a meeting with Barbara Richardson, who is the Chief Administrative Officer for WMATA, and Lynn Barisak, who is the Assistant General Manager for Customer Outreach, Marketing, and Communications, I think, and Jennifer Green, who I think works in that general arena. And Barbara and I were at that meeting because Candace had a last-minute work conflict and Karen was on travel. And out of that meeting came some commitments to do some work on specific, some presentations on specific things. For example, they were very interested in, they're going to get back to us, and we hope to have a presentation available, if people agree, that would help us get kick-started on the fair simplification process, maybe as early as June. In July, Lynn Barisak is going to talk to us about customer care as it is sort of manifest through the public participation plan.
Also three P's, for those of you who are interested. It's the PPP.
Right.
Public participation plan.
Right.
And we call that the projects and plan, what is it? Planning and projects and
programs.
And programs, not necessarily.
Planning programs, projects. Right. But I think that the bottom line is that I think we got kind of a buy-in, not only from the board of directors who sort of gave me a blessing and went away, but also the WMATA staff to follow up on the ideas and activities that, you know, we needed their support on. So basically that's the way that went. I'm sorry John, do you know whether Patrick intends to be here tonight or not? Okay. Well, in the interest of time, I'll just go on and do this. Went to the AAC committee. It was very interesting. In some ways, they have a different governance model. In some ways, it was very familiar. But the bottom line of it is that my main purpose was to do two things, congratulate them on their winning strategy, since they were effective in having a reduction in their fare cap for Metro Access, and also to talk about ways that we could collaborate specifically on the bus stop. And I intend to go to the next two committee meetings of the AAC, and I'll do a more formal report at the end. I now want to call on people for committee reports, and I think I've had conversation with some of you today and said, look, this is not to put you on the spot. I realize that some people, maybe there was only one committee who was successful enough to have a planning meeting, so if you have nothing to report, don't feel embarrassed. There's work ahead. So With that, Fred, do you want to talk about anything with the Budget and Finance Committee? Okay. Customer service is, Barbara's going to do that for Tom Drath, who had the nerve to say that he wouldn't be here because he's in Mexico City.
We haven't had a formal meeting yet since the last meeting, and but Tom did poll the team on how they would evaluate the priorities of the list that we had, and actually got quite a bit of consensus. Also, a tentative plan about meeting on Tuesdays, but I think your plan for tonight's agenda, where we get the second half of the meeting, we will meet at that time, and I'll bring the group together, and we can talk some more to carry that on. He blessed that. He knows he's not here, and he said that was just fine.
Okay, and Karen is running late, and she said she would be late because of some family responsibilities. So we'll skip the governance report, and I think it's in your packet. Dan, the Triple P Committee, Planning Programs.
Hi, good evening, everybody. You have a copy of our the notes from our planning session. To be very brief, we just looked at two specific areas to focus on. One is the Silver Line effects, and we've kind of outlined what we thought was some good issues to discuss with WMATA in a series of meetings with them. And then the other was the 16th Street buses, and the idea was we were going to try to hold a public forum in which the situation there could be discussed. Although I think one thing we need to talk about later is the fact that there was a similar forum that was just held last week that was very productive. So we have to see sort of what we can do value added on top of that. That was held by the Coalition for Smarter Growth, I believe, and it was a nice event. So I think that's it, and look forward to having our mini meeting, I guess, afterwards.
Karen, I think, did a report which is in here on governance, but when she it gets, is it in here? So we'll, okay. Safety and security, Lorraine.
We have no report at the moment, as nobody has shown any interest in belonging to this committee. So please, if anybody's interested in belonging to the safety and security, please let me know. Thank you.
Okay. We are really speeding through this, so this is great, because the more time we have to spend in the committee meetings, the better. I would like to try to formally adopt the ground rules, which you've seen in many, many iterations, I think, for at least the last three meetings, and they are in your packet. Can somebody make a motion to put it on the floor for discussion, please? Okay, and is there a second? Okay. Any discussion? What page is that?
13. Start from page 13. The back end of it.
And basically, all this is some procedures which I think would help us. I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on it, but I do want to do something that people feel comfortable with. Dan.
I have a question, Carol. Just with respect to the presentations, I guess it's bullet point number two. Committee chairs will coordinate with RAC leadership team on whether or not presentations should be made available to full RAC or a specific committee.
Mm-hmm.
I was just wondering what the rationale behind that was.
As opposed to
my common sense would be, you know, whoever wants to show up to a committee meeting for a certain presentation would be welcome. I was just wondering what the thinking was behind that.
Oh, no, that's not what I meant.
Oh.
That's not what was meant by this. I'm saying that I think the committee chairs need to coordinate with the RAC leadership team about whether presentations should be made to committees or to the full RAC.
Not twice.
Right. In other words, I don't want them to be made twice. And if there's an overarching issue, it probably should be made at the full RAC meeting. And maybe I'm assuming something, but it seems like since it's difficult for people because of their work and other schedules to get together between meetings, and since we don't have a full-time RAC staff coordinator, it may be more useful to use the second part of this two-hour meeting to do presentations. So all we're saying is we're not going to ask the Ramada staff to do a presentation at the committee level and then turn around and do it again at the full meeting. And we're also asking for some coordination through the RAC leadership team to make sure that we aren't doing overlapping work. That's really what I'm saying. Anything?
Yeah, sorry, Carol, I just misunderstood that one.
Deborah.
Just a quick question about where do these ground rules fit procedurally? They're not part of the bylaws.
No.
They're just sort of informal things that we've, or
right.
semi-formal things that we've agreed to?
Right. I would say that they're informal. You know, if somebody suggested that it probably shouldn't be part of the bylaws, because then it would mean that every time we want to change, you know, like use this versus this, we'd have to change the bylaws. Just a way of operating at least for this year. And it seems to me that right now, since everything ends at the end of the calendar year, these would end at the calendar year unless somebody decides to carry them over. Unless we amend the bylaws to say we can have procedures that carry over.
Thanks.
I'm sorry, Deborah.
About number six, do you have any suggestions that we should ask how much time as to let the RAC staff coordinator know? Should it be 24 hours? Should it be a week before? Do you have any idea?
I'm sorry, say which one you're talking about.
Number six, about members who cannot attend any RAC committee should notify the RAC staff coordinator. Is there any specific time link?
I don't think there needs to be any specific time unless because some people do it right away and some people tend to do it, you know, the day of. But, I think it's just as a, you know, just from the where I sit, it's good to tell people as soon as you can, as soon as you know it.
On the unlikely chance that we might have so many that do it at the last minute, we don't have a quorum, that sort of thing. So, you know, I'd say when you know, let him know.
I have a question. You might want to add a special notice for a sign language interpreter. You might want to think about it.
Well, there is something in here that relates to that, because there is something here, Deborah, that relates. Go on, Joan.
That was actually what I wanted to address, is that, Deborah, if we need to cancel the sign language interpreters, we need to do that two full business days in advance. So I would need to know, ideally, by the Friday prior to a Wednesday meeting that I believe you're going to be at.
Right. And the last bullet on that page is talking about special accommodations, because I didn't realize that in order to have an interpreter or any other kind of special accommodations, large print, et cetera, we should give the staff 4 work days in advance. Any other questions, comments? We ready to vote? All in favor of adopting these ground rules for the rest of the calendar year, please raise your hands. All opposed? Any abstentions? Thank you. And the next thing I want to do is to call on people for any community meetings and reports. Maybe this is a good time for your coalition for smarter growth.
Man, I'm doing way too much talking today. Ben, you were there too, so in Catherine. So if I miss anything, please add. Yeah, this was very interesting. Coalition for Smarter Growth put this meeting about the 16th Street bus corridor, and it was my first chance to listen to Jim Hamray. Is that his, how it's pronounced? Hamray speak. Really nice guy. It was just wonderful to hear him. It really, I thought it was a very collaborative environment in the sense that he was really open for questions from people. And the gist of his presentation, I believe, was that in his opinion, Metro has done just about everything that they can do short of putting some articulated buses on the route, which they're planning on doing, a significant amount of them. They've done pretty much everything that they can do to improve the service on 16th Street, short of being able to have some kind of priority lane, which I thought was interesting. The second speaker, or the another speaker, was a person from the DOT, or DDOT. And, you know, the sense I got from them is they have some good, you know, they're very transit-oriented, unlike a lot of transportation departments who are focused on just expansion of their facilities. They're really looking at maximizing the use of the facilities, and, you know, I think that they're very amenable, and they've studied the priority lanes. The sense that I got from them personally was that it's just a deliberate process they have to go through internally, and also from a political point of view, I don't think they necessarily want to be perceived as the ones really pushing it. So, you know, they kept calling for, you know, some kind of groundswell movement behind the plan for prioritizing bus lanes. From a practical point of view, it seemed like they thought they could do it. And, you know, I asked him afterwards if he thought there was a group that would be really opposing it, and he really didn't necessarily think so. So, I mean, I think it's something that's moving along, and I guess the question that we can ask is if there's something that we can do as representatives of Metro riders that we can sort of give it a little nudge, especially maybe from just a political point of view, or having us push sort of the fact that, you know, bus riders really want this, and I think they do. So I think there may be a role that we can play in that area.
Mary Ann, and then James.
I wasn't at a meeting representing RAC, but I was at a Silver Spring Citizens Advisory Committee meeting where they had presentations by DDOT on the light rail stuff that they're planning to do, or the trolleys, whatever they're called. And there was also stuff about the priority bus lanes in Montgomery County. And I think if you're looking at 16th Street, which is of critical importance to the Silver Spring area in upper Montgomery County, there's some linkage with a couple of citizens groups and maybe on a government level with the Montgomery County aspect of what's flowing into 16th Street and other routes.
Yeah, that's, did they say where the priority lanes would be in Montgomery County?
They have a bunch of different ones, which I'm not remembering right now, but New Hampshire Avenue, Colesville Road, several going into Silver Spring, some going other directions.
Well, an interesting question, and this is something that we could ask, I guess DDOT would have more of the information, is it's obvious that the people that would be most affected would be the car users. And it's an interesting question of, like, what percentage of car users that go down 16th Street at that point are residents of the district versus residents of Montgomery County. And I'm sure that DDOT would have that information. I'm curious. I would suspect a good amount are Montgomery County, which means it's very important to make that connection.
And to me, it's almost the reverse of Montgomery County is not so different than the district of wanting to get people to use transit. And so there is potential support of looking at this and figuring out how to do it well.
James.
Yes. Ben. Thank you, Madam Chairman. Let me just say that as someone who works at night in that area, the real problem with the 16th Street corridor, the S buses, is the fact that they're very infrequent, particularly after 8 p.m. They're very infrequent. And that causes a lot of problems for people who are going north on, particularly north on 16th Street. And I was just, I think the priority bus lanes is something that needs to be done. But what I really think is that there needs to be more service after 8 p.m. because you have people who are working at various establishments there. They're going out at that particular time. You have people who are working in offices, cleaning offices, and they need to get home. So that's why you need more bus service on 16th Street, particularly going north. Thank you, Madam Chair.
I just want to sort of piggyback on what Dan was saying. I think the thing that all three of the panelists said were very consistent. They all said 16th Street is at the max right now. It can't hold much more traffic, and that some sort of priority something is inevitable. But where they disagreed was exactly how it would happen. And I think the reason that they've all been so sort of gun-shy in all this is that they don't want to do it wrong and then have to retract it. They want to do it right the first time, and it's very unclear which of the solutions would work best for 16th Street in particular. And so I think that's part of maybe sort of our value add in the long term is helping them to figure out what riders need. But the other side of that is going to be what will non-bus riders accept? And that's the part that's going to be a lot tougher to really nail down in the end. So I think the ultimate outcome or the sort of takeaway that I got from that whole meeting is it's a lot more complicated than people think it is. It's not just about putting more buses on there. And in fact, that's probably the wrong way to go about it. There are a lot of layers to all of this.
I'm telling you, did you know that 16th, I'm talking about Mr. Daniel, 16th Street is the only longest street in District of Columbia. I want to know if they have thought about having priority analysis and study first before they come up with any new idea. Have you talked about that? Have you brought that up in the meeting?
I'm sorry, Deborah. I have to be honest with you. I didn't catch all of what you said.
I can answer that one, actually. They did a study in 2009. The question is, have they studied it recently? And the answer is yes and no. Yes, they did a study, but no, it's not recent. The last one was in 2009, and that resulted in a lot of changes, the adoption of the S9 express bus down 16th Street. But things have changed a lot since 2009. And one of the things that I was thinking about through that whole meeting is, gee, they really kind of need to do a new study on that. I don't know if there's money for that or even desire for it. But if they're looking to create some sort of political or, you know, rational groundswell for doing something about that, they're going to have to get more recent information. So it's a good question, actually.
One of the things, if I can't, it really is amazing how much the traffic is increasing on 16th Street. Even since 2010, it's like 20%. And also, if you look at the three corridors, 16th Street, 14th Street, and Georgia Avenue, those together are, I think I have the percentage in there, some high percentage of all the ridership in all the district. Yeah, which is quite a bit. So like Ben said, you know, whenever you have a 20% increase in ridership, you know, not only are there more riders, but it could change sort of the pattern of the ridership within the corridor itself. You know, maybe more of the riders are longer distance or shorter distance or different times of the day, like John has said.
Also, 16th Street have a 495 kilometer. Remember, they need to study how the traffic goes in and come in from 495 that way. You might want to bring that up.
It's nothing personal.
I guess I would say I agree that there needs to be a change on 16th Street, but I think by adding more buses, you're sort of taking away from the other lines, and I think that shouldn't really be our focus. I think priority bus lanes should more be the focus and different things like that, because right now I feel like we do have enough buses on 16th Street. They've actually bumped it up later on at night where you can catch the S9, or they do the extender buses up until about 11 o'clock at night. And then after that, it does sort of taper off a little bit. But for the most part, I see a lot of the problem is mainly during rush hour. You'll sit there sometimes in the same spot for 5-10 minutes just because either the lights aren't in conjunction together or there's just too much traffic and the buses can't get in and out of traffic. So I don't know if we need more buses. We just need a better solution to the traffic issue, whether it's, you know, getting the lights coordinated better, whether it's, I don't know, just priority bus lane, something else.
Well, Candace, that, if I could, Carol, that brings up something that was very interesting about the meeting that came up, was just how few extra buses there are to be distributed among the system. And Jim was very honest about this. Like, one question was, you know, there's a huge variation in the ridership, not only in 16th Street, but all streets or all routes, depending, like if it's raining, for example, it can jump 20%. And somebody asked him, well, how do you respond to that? And Jim said, I don't have the buses. There are no extra buses. There's no floating buses. And like you said, it's not in a vacuum. You know, you put more buses on 16th Street, you're taking them away from another route.
But at that point, we were supposed to be extending the number of buses on 14th Street, and I think the last time I talked to him, he said that there's, at this point, no way to really expand it much more just because of that problem.
Well, that's another good point, because if you look at the ridership, I think the ridership on 14th Street is not too far away from the ridership on 16th Street, and I don't know what the growth is. It may be growing faster.
I'm going to cut this off because those who have a passion about 16th Street, go to the Triple P committee meeting. That's what I think, and this is not a criticism, but I think this is exactly the kind of conversation that really needs to be teased out in that committee. So, and it's going to force people to choose among their passions. What I'd like to do now is this. I'd like to go to Karen to highlight anything that she wants from the governance committee. I'd like to go to the public because I have skipped through many items without asking for your input. And then I will go to item 9, and then we will probably break at about 7:15 if all goes well. And I have one comment to make now that Patrick's here. In addition to the items I covered at the AAC meeting, I have to publicly commend Patrick. He runs a damn good meeting. At some point, they were 15 or 20 minutes behind schedule, and I don't know how you did it, but they ended up ending right on time at 7:30, covered a lot of items, and I will make arrangements to make sure that people get copies of those agendas. Very interesting for a future discussion of what they covered and how they cover things differently.
Carol, could I ask one question?
Sure.
And I appreciated you being there. It was very nice to be there. One of the things that we are doing is going through our bylaws and updating them because they need it. It's been about 5 years. But I see that the RAC has an AAC member on this board. And I'm wondering if it might be something useful to reciprocate and see if we might be able to suggest, and I know it needs to go through concurrence in the board and all that, to have a RAC member on the AAC board.
That segues perfectly into Karen's report.
Thanks so much. The Governance Committee met on Monday, April the 28th, and I just want to reiterate to everyone here that those meetings are open to everyone, so we encourage you to participate. We met primarily to prioritize our 2014 work plan and also to review the ground laws that I will assume that you all approved here earlier today. Great. So for the most part, we decided that our number one priority for the year is to review the bylaws, and I'm echoing a little bit what Patrick said here. It's been about 5 years since we updated the bylaws. We also decided that our second priority is to establish meeting protocols, and the ground rules were one of those. We're also looking at Robert's Rules of Order training, and you'll get more information about that at a later date. Our third priority is RAC membership on the AAC. So we didn't really discuss that issue very much, and we tabled it to our to a, not the next meeting, but a following meeting after that. And our fourth priority is to review other RAC procedures, including a proposed RAC resolution template. So our next meeting would have been scheduled on May the 26th, but that's a holiday. So we're hoping to reschedule that to either Tuesday of that last week or Wednesday. So if people can give me feedback on which day works best for them, that would be great. We're hoping to use that meeting as a working session to really go over those bylaws, review them, update them, get comments on that day. I hope the bylaws, they're not in a packet here, but we will email those out to everyone so you can start thinking about things that need to be updated or revised and bring those comments with you at our next governance committee meeting. So I think at this point, that's really all I have. I think I've highlighted all the big issues. If anyone has any questions, just let me know.
I just wanted to make more noise than Dan Turk. Item 9, the membership and RAC support. Let me take the easy one first. We wanted to let you know that just a brief update on the hiring of the staff coordinator. The position announcement closed on the 2nd of May, and it's the applications are now being reviewed by the HR, and we don't really have an update of an estimated time when we'll have a permanent RAC coordinator. So I just wanted to let you know that. The middle item is that Rob Pappas, who was a representative of the RAC from Fairfax County in Virginia, has resigned due to work pressures and priorities. And he was here for a very short period of time. I do intend to call him to get any kind of feedback because I think a newly resigned member, or you know, is a good person to ask about feedback to improve the meeting. So I will be doing that this week. And the last item, we're going to handle it a little bit differently from what I planned. I'm going to turn that item over to James Wright, who's going to speak to the item about the termination of a RAC member.
Madam Chair, as you look on your agenda, you see to recommend termination of RAC member due to non-compliance with attendance guidelines. That person is me. I have not been to a RAC meeting technically since November. And let me say that I have been keeping in touch in terms of the emails and watching very closely what the RAC has been doing. I don't know whether this is an excuse, but this is what happened. One of the things is that I'm a writer for a local publication here. And we had a very busy primary season in the District of Columbia. I cover the District of Columbia government. And things were very intense in terms of the political coverage here during that time. And as a result, I had to shuffle a lot of things. Plus, my publication has a brand new website, and you have to constantly feed that website with what's going on in order to continue to be competitive. So as a result, I pushed aside some things in order to do that, including the RAC, but some other things, particularly with my church, to do that. I had every intention of coming to the April 2nd meeting, which was Wednesday, April 2nd. However, because the District of Columbia election results came in very, very late. My work had to be pushed back, and I was practically dead on Wednesday, April the 2nd. So I wouldn't have done you any good here because I would have been asleep. I have every intention on staying on the RAC. I have no intention of going anywhere. I will continue to speak up on getting more service on 16th Street. Also, the X2 and the X9. Also, I represent Prince George's County, particularly more service, bus service in southern Prince George's County. And we had some success with Jim, about a few months ago in terms of getting more public transportation to National Harbor. He actually listened, and as a result, you have more bus service, direct bus service to National Harbor, and people have noted that. And I will continue to press on that. So please excuse my absence. Please do not terminate me from this group. I will continue to speak up and speak out when I feel that the writer's interests are not being served. And thank you for your patience and for your patience and forbearance in this matter. And that's it.
What I'd like to do is, unless there are objections, I'd like to table this proposal. Well, they didn't. There was no motion on the floor, so I'd just like to skip this agenda item if that meets with everyone, unless people have an objection. Okay. Comments from the public. Okay. Anything of the announcements, I'm going to really try to stick to the 7:15 break. Basically, what you should do is to try to get agenda items for the next meeting by May 19th. We are thinking about, I think we are talking about having meetings of the RAC leadership team. Somehow it's harder for the four of us to get together than it is for 21 people, but what can I tell you? What I'd like to do is to break now, unless there are any other agenda items, to have people go to their respective committees, which, as I said, will force you to go to a committee, hopefully. The Triple P committee will meet in here. The let's put safety and security in, somehow we'll split the room. Customer service will be in the training room. And budget and finance, if you think you need to meet, Brad, can be in the training room as well. So whereas people can belong to as many committees as they want, tonight what you have to do is to choose your primary committee, go to it and participate in it, and come out with a work plan that we're really going to work on. The beauty of having a leadership team is I walked away from the meeting with the executive committee thinking, oh, we should only do the things or focus on the things that they were leaning in about. But as all the other members of the leadership team suggested, we can do both, which is the position that Ben took early on. And so I'm thinking that what we need to do is to come up with a priorities and to try to come up with a work plan. And we should come up with some timelines for deliverables so that we can be assured that we have something to show at the end of this year, or we have a plan for carrying it on to the next year. Does that make sense to everybody? Okay, so Triple P in here, safety and security in here, customer service, customer service, what did I? Oh, yeah, budget and finance. So I'm leaving that up to Fred. Oh, and the first order of business is to elect a chair. We have an elected chair of the Budget and Finance Committee and one of the Governance Committee, but the rest of the people are conveners, and you need to elect those people. And I will just say that even though Tom Drafts is in Mexico City, he's willing to run for chair. He's willing to run for chair, so I did ask him about that.
Can you just walk through again what your objectives are for these? It's to elect a chair. It's to talk about priorities, mm-hmm. develop a work plan,
and some
timeline,
and some sketch some timeline into it.
Was there anything else that I missed?
That's it.
That was it. Okay. Thanks.
Oh, I'm glad you said that. And a note taker, because one of the things we agreed to by having approved these ground rules is we need both a chair and we need a note taker. And the beauty of having a note taker is just that, to kind of keep track of the meetings with that person. If you decide to, can also chair the meeting in the absence of the chair, so that, you know, everything rolls smoothly. We're not going to be bound by or stymied by the absence of somebody. So this meeting is adjourned to those other committee meetings.